Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When the head coach of BYU uses you as leverage, you being Penn State, uses you as leverage to get more money from the Mormon church, it ain't great.
It's not great. And then you have the CEO of Crumble Cookies entering the ring.
Not just that.
I love
but
that.
But tweeting about it.
I know.
It looks like it's time for me to step in the game.
As if he was like Batman or something. It's like the bat signal went off. Like, I guess somebody called Crumble Cookies. Let's get this thing going.
All right. I want it to be a cougar signal. The problem is it is BYU. So would the cougar signal actually be just three cougars in a row? Would it be like seven cougars in a row?
There's a soaking joke here somewhere and I'm just not finding it.
I think there's one guy just completely bathed in money and it's Kalani Sitake. Good for him, by the way. That's an awesome story.
Yes. And by the way, this is what I wish every school has an openly just wealthy booster the way that they have at BYU. And so you can just, this is what you're supposed to do. In the college ranks these days, I love the idea that it used to just be like T. Boone Pickens and Phil Knight and everyone just kind of played along with the idea that they were like, oh, wait, yeah. We've donated $300 million to the school. Let's all figure out where the money goes. And now everyone can just be the wild, wild west about it. And I'm here for it. I like this.
You know, when the money train finally comes in, BG is just going to be the new Oregon. I mean, it's going to be in the Big Ten. Eddie George is going to be just completely immersed in five-star recruits. If he's still there.
Okay, quick sidebar, really quick sidebar, because I know you play the lottery because you basically want to have BGSU be the powerhouse one day. The gas station I frequent put up a new sign on their window. I went there last night, and the new sign said, $1 million scratch-off sold here.
Mm. Well, now you don't go there. They've already sold their million
dollar. They tapped out of their million dollar one. I was like, wait a second, what? Yeah.
I know what they're going for. They're trying to get, they're like, hey, we sold one here, but what's the odds you're going to get two
there? I don't even buy scratchers at this point in life, but like, I felt like it was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, the scratcher thing.
Like my gas station sold $1 million scratcher.
Like the boomer bust of paying $30 and like, you're just hoping to get 30 back if you don't win a million. I'm out on it for now. We don't have that kind of money, right? We're really going.
You're done with scratchers?
We're taking a hiatus.
Oh, okay. You guys are just in a little bit of a break.
The Powerball's up at 750.
You guys are going to go through couples counseling. I know you'll get back together.
Well, the Powerball's up at 750. When I win the 750, then I'll just be buying booklets of the scratchers.
You'll still play the lottery if you won the lottery?
Yeah, because what's better than one lottery win? Two lottery wins, yeah.
I just assumed once you win the lottery, you stop playing the lottery.
Yeah, if you're a loser.
I beat the odds. I got it. I did it. Game over. That's like the final boss.
$750, I got money to spend, right?
And how else are you going to spend it, right?
Yeah, because you only need one more $1 million. If I spend $100,000 to win $1 million, again, I'm in the green by $900,000.
I want you to get so rich off the lottery that you win $1 million scratcher and think, oh, Jesus. Going to really disrupt my tomorrow. I don't even know that I'll cash it.
I will say.
That's how rich I want you to get.
I want to get so rich that I tell people, it's really going to screw up my tax bracket.
Yeah.
Like, I had a family member come into a small amount of money. It was a modest amount of money. It was a decent amount of money. It was a modest amount of money. And they make decent money. But the first response to me was, I got to call my tax guy and see how this. I'm like, you don't make that much money. I'm like, you make decent money. You don't make $40,000. I got to call Larry. Larry, you got to tell me what's going on here. Can I afford this? Should I give it to charity? Like, you're not swimming in the waters you think you're swimming in.
It is funny because then he thought to himself, like, just the idea of telling the tax guy and going through that was not worth the pain, was not worth the hassle of it all, which coming from someone like myself that just hates doing tasks, I kind of understand where he's coming from. It's a crazy response, but I understand it a little bit.
I love that you call your tax guy and like, hey, buddy, we found $50,000. And he's like, God dang it.
Yeah, tax guy doesn't care.
Yeah, the tax guy's going to be like, cool.
Okay, the number's changed. It doesn't impact my life at all.
Well, no, it's how much he gets to embezzle off you.
Is that it? If you have a good tax guy, am I right?
All money guys are mad off. I've been saying it for a while. Yeah, a couple points. That being said, I know I called for Kevin Stefanski to get fired last year. The statute of limitations ran out right about June.
We established that because I still believe if you called for it like I did last year, you're just kind of stuck in it now, but okay.
I think we're getting to a point where, and I was surprised we didn't hear different from Albert earlier today. I think you're starting to see some Browns beat reporters who've bought into the idea of continuity going forward and buying into what Jimmy Haslam's saying. At 3-9, with the kind of ways the Browns are losing, I think if you've watched this team for 12 games, I don't know they're a 500 team. I also don't think they're a 3-win team. And I think there's been so much mismanagement of the quarterback position and simple game-altering mistakes like special teams blunders, the 4th-and-1 decision, the countless ways they've lost this season, the lack of accountability for the, unless you're Wyatt Teller, then sit your ass on the bench, but the lack of accountability for a myriad of mistakes. I think we're hurtling towards a total reset. And I mean, I don't think anyone's safe anymore. I think if anyone stays, it's going to be Andrew, but I think Kevin's got to go. And I think Andrew Berry's got to go too. The more I watch this, they're the same old Browns, the kind of ways they're losing. They're not losing simply because they don't have enough talent. Yes, they don't have enough talent. They need more talent. Yeah, it's the NFL. You always need more talent.
Yeah.
But they're 3-9 because of coaching when they probably could be a 5-win team if somebody knew how to lead a team. And I hate to say it because Kevin's a good guy, but I don't know. There's something about this loss that it's just like, yeah, it's not just about the players. And I don't think it's fair to the players to say it's just about the players.
It just felt like more of the same to me. It's like a new creative way to lose a game, but it's not even that creative because we've seen them have special team gaffes that have cost us games already this season. Like I almost feel like we're in a repeat episode, and like I'm trying to figure out at what point the lowest spot is for Stefanski. But like even like Fanta earlier today, Fanta didn't break on Stefanski this week. He broke weeks ago on Stefanski. Yeah. And so it's tough for me because I know part of my opinion of Stefanski's moved or changed in really a year and a half. I've just kind of remained steadfast in what I believe to be true and that he should not be the head coach of this football team anymore.
I mean, you and I called this out back in January. You don't get to have back-to-back 3-win seasons or 8 wins if they end up being a 5-win team this year. You don't get to have 8 wins across 2 seasons 6 years into the thing and keep your job. You just don't. That's how the NFL works.
Right.
And if I'm beginning to think if Kevin still has a job post this little stretch run here, I'm beginning to think Jimmy's just trying to prove something that he can't prove.
You mean that he won't fire people?
Yeah. I think Jimmy's trying to answer a narrative out there in the NFL that's not going to change. Clark Hunt is a great kind of guy to point out on this, because Clark Hunt tried to do it every other way, and he fired guys after a little bit of time, kept guys in for way longer past their expiration date. He did it 100 different ways. And in the end, the only thing that changed anything for him is he found a head coach who could consistently win. That gave them a foundation, and then eventually they found Pat Mahomes. But that first part matters. The first 5 years of Andy Reid in Kansas City with Alex Smith changed the narrative around Clark Hunt as an owner. He no longer was a Nepo baby who was afraid of his own shadow. Mm-hmm. It reestablished credibility to the Kansas City Chiefs organization. You were on the precipice of that through the first 4 seasons of this. And now the thing has gone into the bridge embankment because these guys aren't great at their jobs. They might equally be good at their jobs, some level of okay at their jobs. They're not good enough. They're not good enough to substantiate going forward. And if you keep them in their jobs, not only are you spitting in the face of every Cleveland Browns fan out there, Not only are you doing that, which is bad enough because you do that pretty routinely.
Yeah.
Right? But you're also telling a locker room of guys, there is no accountability. Well, Kevin already tells them that with his actions. You're only reinforcing that.
I think for the people that are scared that you can't get better, we just look to this past off season. And this past off season where people are like, well, you can't possibly fire Stefanski because look at the lack of coaches out here. It's already becoming the narrative for this off season too. Like, look at the lack of coaches. All right, well, there were three coaches last year that were hired that are now on first place teams this season. The Bears are the number one seed in the NFC. Ben Johnson looks like not only does he have Caleb Williams, all these guys turned around. Yeah, they added a center guard center combo, congratulations. But like, look at their run game. That's the same players that are there that were there last year. Look at their defense. Yeah. Same players that are there last year to this year. He's legitimately gotten them to a much better spot. Mike Vrabel was also there. He was in this building, but he was also, you know, one of the new hires from last year to this year as well. Completely turned the Patriots around. And then the other one, and I know you're going to laugh at this, but this is a first place team right now, Liam Cohen. Like there are three coaches that were hired this last offseason that have already paid off in spades for their new respective teams. These guys are out there every single cycle. You just have to identify them and go out and get them.
And here's the thing. Kevin Stefanski is an offensive head coach. I know he no longer calls the plays, or at least calls every single play, but Kevin Stefanski is an offensive head coach. And while I do not think this team has the talent, no matter which quarterback started, to be a top 20 offense, I do think they have more talent than the 32nd ranked offense.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's in the NFL. Call me setting low standards here, but Kevin Stefanski, yeah, if he could coach his way out of a paper bag, should be able to lead you to an offense better than the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL. It's all too much. And if you can't do that, like, that's why you're here. All right? I had to give up the idea that Kevin Stefanski was a coach of men or a leader of men many years ago. I had to give it up when I watched Mike Vrabel go off to New England. And by the way, he was going there anyways because that's a better job than this one. He had Drake May. You don't have that here. Totally get it. But the point is, I already had to give that up. I shouldn't have to give up a watchable offense because Kevin Stefanski is, and by the way, it's not just even about Dylan Gabriel and his love of a sought-off quarterback that can't throw beyond the line of scrimmage. It's a fact that he neutered Joe Flacco, who went to throw for a bajillion yards and at least made it fun in Cincinnati. I just can't do it. I've tried to be the devil's advocate. I've tried to stay patient with this, but I'll be honest with you. For a long time, I've said, you just need to avoid losing the locker room. You've lost me. And I think the Shador thing is a Hail Mary. Him looking better each week is not enough for me to save Kevin Stefanski's job, because that credit's going to go to Tommy Rees because he is the play caller.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where the credit ends up going. But like,
I'm saying for me.
Oh, for you. Okay. Yeah. But also, it's like the idea that how is this what you're supposed to do best? And it looks as bad as it does. You know, I always find that really strange. And it really is to me a sign of a bad head coach or someone that isn't very good at their job is when.
Or that's just ran its course.
Well, that's fine too. But also the idea, like, when you have your side of the ball and your side of the ball is what is consistently letting everybody down. Like we talked a lot about Tomlin, and we'll talk about Tomlin later, I'm sure. But like, one of the things with Tomlin, why I think he puts such an emphasis on the defensive side of the ball, is he knows that side. Like, that's his specialty. In many ways, that's what he knows. And so he's always going to default to that strength. This is what you know. How is the identity of this team, and has been for years now, the defense when you're an offensive guy?
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, I'm thinking
and
about...
you've had one top 10 scoring offense in 6 years.
It's just not good enough for that to be what you're supposed to do. Again, like, talk about, like, Ben Johnson's, for instance. He comes in, and immediately he gets that side of the ball to look a million times better than it did with Eberflus. Like, that's how this is supposed to work.
I can't watch a team that is low on talent and discipline. I can't. And again, I don't hold it against the players. The players are the players. They're just going out there trying to make a buck. I get that, right? But being a Cleveland Brown has to stand for something. And there are guys who it stands for something. I think it stands for something for Wyatt Teller. I think it stands for something with David Njoku. I think it stands for something, oddly enough, with a guy like Carson Schlesinger and the way he plays. Denzel Ward from Nordonia. Like, there are guys who want to win here. So I take solace in that. But I think they need a real leader. And listen, am I a little concerned that Jimmy's just going to go find another pliable 36-year-old, 37-year-old offensive coordinator who will say yes, sir, no, sir to Mr. Haslam because, yuck, we got to do what Jimmy say? Yeah, little worried. That doesn't make Kevin Stefanski any better of a head coach.
But I'm going to kind of roll the dice even in that scenario in many ways. And I don't know who the offensive coordinator would be, but if you got to keep Jim Schwartz. That has to be a mandatory in this. If you have Jim Schwartz running the defense, and then again, look at like Washington, for instance. They got Cliff Kingsbury, not a good head coach, but as an OC, did wonders with Jaden Daniels, taking him to the NFC title game. Like, there's all sorts of Josh McDaniels. Again, not a good head coach, but a good OC, and has Drake May doing what he's doing in New England. Like, there are all sorts of little areas that you can pick this up if the offensive side of the ball is where you truly struggle. But you have to keep Jim Schwartz in this process.
216-474-0092 is a total reset coming to the Browns. JJ, Jimmy, Mike, Insto, you guys stick there. You're going to hear what Albert Breer had to say about the thought partners in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It would be so insulting for Kevin Stefanski to be brought back, and Andrew Berry the same, to be brought back by the Haslam and expect anyone in Cleveland. We will, because, you know, we're not those gap-tooth people in Pittsburgh, and we actually support our team through thin and thin, or, you know, 10-7. Sorry, I was calling back. Nope, we're not doing this. I'm sorry. Not trying to relitigate the Mike Tomlin fight. But my point is, we're going to support them, but it's just really insulting to Browns fans if they go 3-14 from here, or if they go 4-13 from here, or 5-12 from here, and you bring these guys back as if anyone's done a good job.
Yeah, no, it'll be insulting. I don't know how the response wouldn't be anything but outrage from the fan base. But that's why it's important that if you feel this way, and it feels like more people than not do, that's why we have to continue to talk about it and continue to basically hammer home the idea that you have a great defense, the offense isn't doing its part, and Stefanski's directly held responsible for the offensive side of the ball.
216-474-0092 is a total reset coming for the Browns. I do think Albert, who again has been staunch. Now, the owner knows what this is. It's a rebuilding year. He said some of that there, but he did leave the door open. I think that's an interesting, it's not a turn from Albert, but I think that's an interesting nuance with Albert that wasn't there probably 3 weeks ago.
Well, you just can't deny it, right? When you don't win enough in 2 years, it becomes the thing like if you even try to make a case, what legs are you standing on? And so that's where, and again, we both called this out how many months ago. You just can't win this few amount of games and expect to keep your job or expect people to even be happy about you keeping your job.
Yeah, and it's also the style of coach. Right? Like guys who are great leaders and great communicators, you might be able to pull something like that off, right? In a true rebuild, it shouldn't take 3 years to get to respectability, but I understand the extenuating circumstances. But some, like there's like maybe 10% of actual coaches that I think could withstand this. Like Dan Campbell, honestly, was one of those guys through the first 2 years in Detroit.
4-19 in his first 23.
Now, what helped him is they finished the season strong.
What also helped him, too, was that they were very, and not maybe as much the second year, but that first year, they were very upfront about where they were as an organization. Yeah. And the difference here with the Browns is the Browns just aren't. The Browns have fed you guys the idea that they're competitive every year in the past two, and they haven't been anywhere close to it. How many people said 8 wins for this upcoming season on a roster that clearly wasn't coming anywhere close to 8 wins?
It depends on which former Browns quarterback they did or didn't
talk to.
That's
right. It really elevated the stakes there, did it not?
And there's still some merit there. There's still time.
I talked to RG3 the other day, and he just can't believe it.
Well, not a lot that guy can believe. Mike in Stowe, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing? Love the show. I mean that. So we're about to go down. Don't take me wrong, because I listen every almost every day. We're ready to kick coach again. We were on that about a month ago, and then it got back to the quarterbacks, and now we're back to the coach thing. And look, I understand, like, you guys have to be on that side, but I got a newsflash. We're tanking, man. And I don't know what, in your guys' belief, a tank is, but that's where you lose a lot of games, and you finish up there at the top of the draft, so you can pick better players, which we kind of demonstrate we finally maybe have the ability to do now.
So real quick, buddy, can you? Because I want to give you a chance to say the other thing. Real quick,
yeah.
What evidence do you have they're tanking?
Because what they addressed the roster this year, it was pretty clear they didn't fix the line, Nick. The offensive line was bad last year. We got the same guys Olaying right now. Watch some of those plays. Watch that fourth down play where Batonio basically just goes to the ground with nobody in front of him. Our line is so old and so wretched, and we did nothing to fix it.
Are they playing Zach Zinter, Luke Whipler? Have they benched Jerry Judy for Isaiah Bond yet? Like, because to me, in season, those are signs of a tank.
Let's not get caught up in that. So here's my point. You want to talk about a new coach? I've listened to the show a lot. I also listen to Albert Breer, and I've listened to him pretty much contradict your guys' take, not only on Shador, but on Dylan, and also on Kevin. And it's kind of fun watching you guys try to backpedal out of what he says, because it ain't what you guys are saying. And I'm not, we all hear.
Where were we wrong on Dylan, by the way?
Not saying wrong. You guys have a different take on Dylan than he has.
He covers a national perspective. We're here locally, as you hear every day, Mike.
Hey, we all have different opinions, but here's what I got to say. Yeah, you guys are after the coach. I've listened to Nick. I listen a lot. Maybe he suggested other guys. I'm one of these people that you want to fire the coach, you want to say let's get rid of him. I want a name. I want a guy who's available. I want a suggestion. Don't just say do something, because that's usually how you end up in worse situations. So I've heard you, Jonathan, say that, look, I'm after a new guy. The guy that can look at these five guys that are leading their divisions. Guess who was 11-5 his first year at Cleveland? Kevin Stefanski. So I'm not going to get excited about a guy who's just out of the gates, who's doing great the first two-thirds of the first year. That doesn't enough for me to be sold on the guy. Yeah, it's a great start. It's a good thing to look at. But I've also heard Nick suggest two guys. David Shaw and Robert Saleh. I'd rather have diarrhea for a month than either one of those two guys, Nick. So unless you got somebody else to say, let's not talk about firing a coach without a solution. Have a great night, guys.
I did have a solution. You just didn't like my solution. Mike, we appreciate you. I like Adam Stenovich of Green Bay. He's a great offensive line coach. He actually also does a lot of the offensive game planning for Green Bay. So I'd pair him with like a Mike McDaniel if Mike McDaniel got fired. I do think David Shaw is a good NFL head coach and would be somebody that, or sorry, he's a good NFL head coach prospect, because I thought he was really good at Stanford until, you know, NIL. I don't blame a guy for failing under NIL. Hell, I'd take John Gruden, honestly. I would.
Would you take Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, probably, because he wins. I think he's an absolute goober, but yeah.
Not my favorite choice in the world, but like Mike McCarthy, as long as we're able to keep Schwartz as the defensive coordinator, and then you add an offensive coordinator like a Mike McDaniels that we're talking about, like that's a winning combination.
You think that's enough, or do you think he also wants diarrhea for... It sounds like Mike... I just wanted diarrhea.
It didn't sound like it was pleasant.
Sound like he might just want it for a month.
You know what, though? He did a nice thing and reminded us how often he listens.
That's true. And he said he liked us.
And he did. So that was like, that's fine. That's good. He didn't come from a place of animosity. He came from a place of like, I disagree with your sports opinion. Let's talk about it. And that's a cool thing, I guess.
And then the diarrhea thing happened.
Well, I think he was, trying to make a joke or something.
A little hyperbolic. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know. Maybe he really would. I don't know.
But I don't know. Like, is there a name that all Browns fans are going to unite around?
That's why I did the exercise of talking about even Liam Cohen in this. And it's Liam Cohen. It's Ben Johnson. It's Mike Vrabel. It's three coaches that last year, yes, some are easy to identify. Well, Mike Vrabel's pretty easy to identify as a good head coach. But people looked at the last coaching cycle as if it was completely bare. It wasn't. Those guys are winning and winning often this season. Does it mean that all three of them are going to be gems until the end of time? Of course not. But with each one of those situations, they took basically the same team, ran it back in their own respective ways, and have them much better than what they were last year. I think there's too many good pieces to this team that I think if you gave a new coach in this situation, while keeping some of what happens defensively that's magic, I think you can win a lot of games. I think you can have that type of turnaround in many, many instances, for sure.
Only problem with Stenovich is he is a Michigan man, but honestly, I don't care. Just win some damn games. Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.